continue.
A huge thank you to Dr. Carol Anderson for being here, the author of White Rage and One Person, No Vote. There is so much more of this conversation that you just have to listen to. It's going to be archived on our website, WGTD.org. We talk about the Brown versus Board of Education decision that has local ramifications even to this very day. We talk about the Trump presidency and how we all can be more active and engaged citizens, no matter what party affiliation that you may believe in or subscribe to. So it's just a fascinating conversation. I hope that you will listen to the full interview on our website at WGTD.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time on Generation Now.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today, you will hear another program in our special series recorded from home due to and about the COVID-19 crisis and how it is affecting educational programs in Southeast Wisconsin. Today, we have guests from the Kenosha Public Library. Heather Thompson is the head of Youth and Family Services at the Kenosha Public Library. Before this position, she was the Youth Programming Librarian at KPL, as well as Children's Librarian E-Media Specialist at the Cook Memorial Public Library District in Libertyville, Illinois. Welcome, Heather.
Hello, nice to be here.
Marcia Sayer, is that how you say it, Marcia?
It's Sear.
Sear, Marcia Sear, I should have asked ahead of time, is head of outreach services. Marcia has a Master of Library in Information Science from Dominican University in Chicago and a BS in Vocational Rehabilitation from UW-Madison. She has been at the library since 2015. Before heading the outreach department, she served as digital strategy librarian. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you for having us.
And Brandi Cummings is the communication specialist at the Kenosha Public Library. Working for the library for nearly 15 years, Brandi has spent time in many departments and positions before leading the marketing team for the past 3 years. Hi, Brandi.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having us.
Yes. So, welcome. It's nice to have you here. We're making this call on Zoom. I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with Zoom in a way they never were 3 months ago. So every time I make these calls, I start by asking how everyone is. And you're in Wisconsin, so you may not be sheltering anymore. So I'm just curious as to what the work situation is for you right now, since the library is not yet fully open, correct? Any one of you could start. Maybe we'll start with Marcia.
Okay, this is Marcia, yes. And I am at home today. We've been back and forth kind of taking turns in the office. Some of our staff are still working from home, and some of them are back. It depends on the job that people do. Some people have, you know, tasks that are easily able to be accomplished from home, and some of them don't. You really need to be in the library for those. And so we are trying to maintain the social distancing guidelines. And because of that, it works best if not everybody is in the library at once.
Yeah, I can imagine. And then let's see, Heather, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your working situation.
Yeah, so I'm actually at the Northside Library today, working out of our conference room. So I'm usually in the library at this point.
Okay, so because the libraries, let me just backtrack a little bit. The libraries aren't currently open to patrons, right?
Correct.
Right. So even though there are a lot of people who work at the library, those are relatively large buildings. So you can probably spread out if people need to be on site sometimes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And then Brandy, what's the situation? You typically work at the downtown office, which is not in a library building, is that right?
That's correct. Our library administration has historically been downtown, but during the midst of this global pandemic, we decided to move into the Southwest Library. So we are now currently working here at the Southwest Library, which is where I am today. And our team will be working out of this beautiful building for the foreseeable future.
Okay. So that's just sort of kind of giving a little background for our listeners. I do like to then go on to say what might have changed in your lives. I've been talking mostly to people in schools. So the public library is also an educational facility, but it's a place where people gather. It's a social hub for a lot of organizations, for a lot of teenagers and kids after school. And all of that has been curtailed. So I think the way to maybe give a good picture for our listeners is to have you each kind of describe what you do or did before all this started and what you are doing now to try to fulfill the mission of the library. So let's start with Heather. You're the Youth and Family Services Librarian. So that is a big job, I would imagine, and I bet it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I would say that the biggest difference that we, when we were fully, when we were open to the public, we had hundreds of children and teens and families in on a weekly basis. And obviously that's, you know, not happening right now. It's a very different situation for us. So, I mean, typically when, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Early, trying to formulate my thoughts. My job really varied day to day on what exactly I was doing. If I was helping work, you know, to work the desk or doing programs or doing the schedule, helping to purchase parts of the collection, all sorts of things. So for the most part, actually, I can do a lot of those things with the library closed. It's just the people are missing. Mm-hmm. So it's the not, I can't be on the desk helping children find books in person, but I can still do it over the phone or via email. Mm-hmm. And I can't do programs in person, but we're figuring out ways to do that virtually as well.
So do you have some story hours and things like that that happen over video now?
We do. We have two virtual story times per week. One is Monday mornings at 10:30, and that's on Facebook Live. And the other is Thursday at 10:30 on Facebook Live. And we have a smattering of other programs that we're just kind of trying out. We're doing our family reading club online. I have a program called Cat Chat that's happening next Wednesday for kids to just, you know, show off their cats and talk about them. And yeah, all sorts of stuff.
I might join you for the cat chat, or my kids might join us for the cat chat any minute now. That sounds fun. Actually, that's one of the things that I learned. I was talking to teachers at the very beginning of this, and I said, well, what's one of the things that happened that you would never have guessed? And they said, well, now I know every single family pet and stuffed animal that all my children have.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's sort of that little glimpse into people's lives at home that you probably never had before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So one of the questions I had is about ebooks and audiobooks. Has that been a large component of what you've all been doing since the library building has closed, is sort of helping people navigate things on their devices and be able to use the ebook collection?
This is Marsha.
Oh, go ahead, Marsha.
Oh. Go ahead, Brandy.
Oh, I was just going to share that.
Okay.
Absolutely. One of the great things about our public library is that even pre-pandemic, we had a very robust digital resource offering. And we saw some wonderful support from many of our vendors who helped support public libraries across the nation by changing the way people could access some of their titles or selections to help increase circulation, but also entertainment value for our patrons. And so we started a reference line because we recognized that not everyone interacting with our digital resources that way before we shut the doors to the public. And so this was going to be new for them and could create some challenges. Our wonderful adult and digital services staff stepped on the phones and troubleshoot and walk people through these new platforms, which if you've ever guided somebody through using a new technology, you know how challenging that is. If you can imagine what it's like when you keep the device, there's an extra layer of challenge there, and our staff has really rose to the occasion to help support the public getting to use these products.
That's okay. Well, that's great to know. I sort of figured that would happen. I know it's been happening for me. Like, I've checked out so many audiobooks over the last 3 months. So I'm sure there are people who never did it before who are getting access to those things like they hadn't in the past. So the next person I really want to talk to is Marcia, because you're the outreach librarian. So I don't know if very many people understand or even are aware that that position exists. And I would imagine that what you've been doing has changed, but I don't know how. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what outreach librarian does and did before COVID, and now how you've adjusted.
Okay. Yeah, the outreach has definitely changed like 180 degrees. The things that we normally do, we take library services, some programs, we take them out into the community outside of our buildings. Before COVID, we had the bookmobile out on the road 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Visiting schools in Kenosha and out in the county, daycares and community stops. We also have a smaller bookmobile that we call our book truck, and that was also going out 4 days a week, 3 days a week going to six what we call lobby stops, where we go to senior buildings, buildings where the folks that live there are not very mobile anymore. They really don't have access to our, or maybe they have a functional disability that makes it very difficult for them to leave their home. So we take our services into their lobby 1 day a week on a regular scheduled outing. And then also on Thursdays, we have one outreach specialist who serves people through our home delivery service. She'll serve patrons that don't live in a building that we already serve. So maybe they live in an individual home, or they live, you know, somewhere that isn't getting regular weekly service through our lobby stop. And our home delivery patrons are paired up with a KPL staff member that serves kind of as their contact point. They place holds for them. They get items ready for them. So then every 2 or 3 weeks, depending what their schedule is, they get new items delivered to their home by Lori, and then she would pick them up. So all of those services I just described are on hold right now. So we're not doing any bookmobile stops off of the Discovery bus. Our book truck has been parked, and home delivery has also stopped. So the things that we're doing now, we're really focusing on planning ahead for when we do reopen, trying to determine what stops are going to be able to resume, which ones aren't. We're supplementing the staff required to do the curbside service that we're offering at Northside and Southwest. It takes a surprising number of staff to get that service to operate functionally. And then a new thing that we started this week is we have an outreach van that has been rigged with a very powerful Wi-Fi booster. And so we have a scheduled Wi-Fi community stops 5 days a week starting this week, three stops a day, 5 days a week. And we are focusing on getting Wi-Fi out into some targeted areas in the community that we were able to map out using census data that showed low subscription rates for high-speed internet, and also reaching more of the zones that have lower incomes. So those are the things that we're focusing on right now. It's totally different than what we would normally do in the summer.
It sounds like it. I'm going to take a moment for a reintroduction, and then we'll go back to some more questions. I have some for Brandy. So you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Kenosha Public Library's response to COVID-19 is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So, Brandy, I'm sure that there are people who heard your title, marketing director, is that what you said it was? And are wondering what that is and what you do. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about what the job was before and how it maybe has changed a little since things have slowed down and closed.
Absolutely, thank you so much. So my role with the Kenosha Public Library very much is managing our marketing department and our communications. I like to say that my job is that when things started closing down, it tripled. Mm-hmm. Communication is clearly so vital for all this ever-changing landscape we're on. So pre-pandemic, I had the wonderful job of getting to our public service team by talking about all of the robust programs and offerings. It was my job to make sure the community knew that we were averaging 225 per month. So when we think about the fact that we've gone from 225 individual programs each month to zero, there's been a huge shift in what we do operationally. It really changed my role and how I'm communicating and what I'm communicating. So one of the things that I'm tasked with is not only making sure people know about what the library has to offer, but that the community understands the value of the public library. We're so lucky in Kenosha that we're very loved by the community, and we love the community so greatly in return. And so that's really been my big focus in the last few months, is continuing to talk about that value and share the ways that we're reaching out to support our community, like Marcia mentioned with the Wi-Fi truck service, and Heather mentioned the online story times that we're doing. It's been a way to show the community that though our doors are closed, we're still here, and we're still here to help and support people.
So any of you can answer this, but what's been the hardest part of this process for you? Of having the library buildings not open to the public, but still offering services.
This is Heather.
Sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
I was going to say that for me, and I think I'm speaking for all of the youth and family services staff as well, is that we just really miss seeing all the kids and families. When we were first working from home in mid-March, I found a video that I took one morning, very, very busy story time mornings at the Southwest Library. And it was a video of a particularly bustling Friday morning. And I sent it to my staff and I was like, oh, things are so different. Oh, isn't this video so cute? And they were like, oh my gosh, you're making me cry. I miss them so much. So that's, to me, that is definitely the hardest part. Yeah, definitely.
Right. And it's just, you know, my experiences in the library, particularly in the children's sections in both Northside and Southwest and in the main library downtown, the Simmons Library, is just, they're bustling, they're full of life and you know, definitely not quiet the way you'd think of a library. And then in the teen library section is always bustling too. So I just feel like it must be, the library must be so sad and lonely.
Very quiet.
That's right.
Absolutely. This is Brandy, and I have to speak to the fact that having an empty library, it feels very surreal. Like you mentioned, Karen, like our spaces are normally very lively. Mm-hmm. And I think that continues to be a hard adjustment for us as we're working with spaces. Not only are we spaced out from our community members, but our staff in order to maintain our safety, we're, you know, maintaining social distance within the building. And that's a huge challenge, to not be able to, you know, congregate and share a meal or hang out and talk by the coffee pot. So I think, much to what Heather said, what we're all probably missing the most is connection with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think everybody, no matter what their job is, probably is feeling that, unless they're an essential services person who is facing the public every day. The rest of us who are used to being around people, you know, and aren't anymore, we didn't realize how much we were going to miss it, probably. Marcia, did you want to add into this too?
Yeah, through the outreach department, and I know I'm speaking for the rest of my staff as well, we definitely miss seeing our regulars at the lobby stops. We really miss and are very concerned about our home delivery patrons. Many of them are homebound and they're not getting out. They're not going out and doing things. We're concerned about their health and safety, but also the loneliness factor. They're connected with us and kind of dependent on us to bring them, you know, recreational and reading items, DVDs, things like that. And so that isn't happening right now. And so what we've done is we've tried maintaining regular phone contact with those people. We're not able to get them items, but we can still talk on the phone and connect with them and be a little light in their day while they're isolating at home. So that's, you know, I guess in a way it's a bright spot, knowing how important our relationships are with our patrons. And that's really something that's come out of this COVID situation.
Right. So I'm just curious, this is probably all public record stuff, but have you had to lay off or reduce hours for people since the library's been closed? Maybe Brandy knows this.
Absolutely. We are very, very fortunate to have an amazing board who is made up of community members appointed by the mayor and a director who both advocate for not only the work that we do here, but for the vitality of the public library to the community. And we have gone through this without layoffs or reduction in hours. I think that's a huge testimony to the how prepared the library was to adapt technologically, the ability to empower our staff to work from home, to make sure that they had equipment or internet access or whatever they might need to continue their work, but also the tenacity of our to be able to shift their focus from physical in-person tasks to working on things that support the larger vision and mission of the library. So we're very grateful for our leaders and how they've led us through this, and also how our team members have showed up to continue to support us.
So I imagine one of the things that maybe you can do now is, you know, everyone has projects in their house that they don't get to, and then suddenly they have more, a different kind of time, and maybe they can get to them. Are there any projects like that that you've been able to do for the library, since staff is no longer doing the face-to-face service?
I have. This is Marcia, and I have had an opportunity to finish up two projects that were in process and taking a really long time. But the most exciting one is a board book collection. We're calling it the Early Literacy Deposit Collection. We have pre-selected collections of board books that we're going to be able to take to different daycares in the area. There are some studies that show that the baby and one-year-old rooms normally don't have access to the right kinds of books. Board books are kind of expensive, and the kids go through them really fast in those situations. So a lot of daycares don't have access to those books in those areas. So what we've designed is a collection that can be swapped out every 4 weeks with fresh board books, 12 to 15 books in a bag. And they were all selected by our early literacy librarian from Heather's department, Tessa. And so we're excited. We're hopefully going to be starting that very soon. We've gotten the green light from the director to begin distributing those as long as the daycares are willing to have people come in with outside materials. So that's a project that was in the making that we're able to finish, and I'm really excited about offering that.
I can just imagine the little ones in the daycares just being thrilled with new books every month or so. So that's a great project.
Yes. Yes. Those pre-reading skills, you know, the proper way to hold a book, how to turn the page, things like that, that you really, if you give a kid a book that's designed, you know, picture books and things like that, that have regular paper pages, and that, of course, they'll be able to hold the book, but the damage is all, you know, torn pages and chewing on the corners and things like that. So, you know, this is a way for kids to have access to books in their hands and get those pre-reading skills, and you know, something that the library does well is books. So I feel it's a really good pairing, this yeah. project.
Any other interesting projects that Heather or Brandy that you can tell us about that have been done during this sort of weird allocation of time?
Sure. As you may or may not know, the Southwest Library has a pretty large developmental collection in the children's department. It's kept in a closet that you can look into. There are a bunch of developmental toys, essentially, things that parents or caregivers or teachers can use to teach about numbers or letters or dinosaurs, or, you know, help them to learn spatial reasoning with puzzles and all sorts of things. There's endless goodies in that closet, and we are often asked if we have a visual catalog of everything that's in the room, whether it's checked out or not. And we don't really. It's hard to find all of that on the catalog in one place and just kind of browse through it. So what we're doing is creating a visual catalog, and we've had a lot more time to do that since we're not face-to-face with the public. So I think that's going to be a huge value add for people who are looking to check out those items.
Great. Let me do a quick reintroduction. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of the Kenosha Public Library's response to COVID-19 is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So you have been doing curbside service for how long, Brandy?
We started curbside service back. So we dabbled a little bit pre-shutdown. The library itself actually closed March 16th to the public, which was before the Safer at Home order. And so once the Safer at Home order was extended, we were able to resume curbside service. So April 24th, mm-hmm. we started it here at the Southwest Library. And I have to share that during that first 2 days, we checked out over 8,600 items.
Wow.
bit about, right, that's a huge response. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges that our staff was able to overcome is, as you may know, recently the Kenosha Public Library joined in the SHARE Consortium, so we're able to source items from across southeastern Wisconsin. And unfortunately, that sharing has been put on hold due to needing to quarantine items and the logistics delivery. But that meant that a lot of those holds had to be placed by our staff for patrons. And so our staff actually placed that very first day, or the first 2 days, excuse me, over 6,000 holds for patrons, which I think is just such a lovely love letter to our community that we're there to help you get what you want. Mm-hmm. Very excitedly, we're able to turn our own dial another day. We open curbside pickup and returns at the Northside Library on June 2nd.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Patrons go to the website and place their preferred order, or how to explain it to me? I don't know. Any of you probably know how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Brandy again, and we wanted to make this as one, easy for patrons as possible, and two, have a little fun, because we knew that we're facing the challenge of not being able to access the same amount as we usually would. So patrons are able to go to our website and to our database just like they normally would for a title on their own. We also have an option where you can either call our reference staff or email them and ask for a bag of 10. And what happens then is you tell us a little bit about what you like to read, maybe what you don't like to read, or what sort of materials you're looking for. It could be DVDs or music. And our librarians and our reference staff will use their reader's advisory expertise to put together like a mystery grab bag for you. And it's a really great way to introduce yourself to new authors, new genres, new titles, and just some gems in the collection that you might have overlooked normally. And that service has been extremely popular for adults and children. I'm sure Heather can speak to the amount of grab bags they've put together for kids. There's only so many dinosaur books in the collection.
Creative. That's true.
To meet everyone's needs, yeah.
This is Heather. There are a lot of requests for dinosaur books, definitely. That's not specific to the pandemic. That's just all the time. But yeah, the Bag of 10 has been a surprisingly wonderful to the services that we can offer. We've gotten great feedback in youth and family services that kids love the items for them, and they were things they never would have picked on their own. And so that's so rewarding.
I think this is a great idea. I'm thinking like, oh, I need to do this now, because I can just imagine how much fun it is to open it. It's like a gift when you get the bag,
right? Absolutely. We've had a lot of great community feedback. People are really excited. One of my favorite quotes was a patron who reached out to us to thank us for introducing her to 10 new friends. That these books felt like new friends based off our considerations of what she already likes and what she doesn't like. And that's such a heartwarming sentiment.
Mm. So sweet.
Right. So normally in summertime, there's a whole shift in what the library does, and a whole bunch of new programming is happening. And that is probably still happening, but how is it different this year?
This is Heather. Summer is our busiest time. For sure, in the Youth and Family Services Department. And this summer is going to go down the strangest of all history of public libraries, I'm pretty sure. Typically in the summer, only do we have our program and scores of children and families coming in to sign up for that and to redeem prize drawing tickets and all of that. But we also increase the number of programs that we do from, and we already do a lot of programs, but then we typically do, I would say about 35 a week. Does that sound right to you, Brandy?
Yeah, that sounds like the right number.
Yeah, so it's a lot of programs for our staff to be doing. So this is very different for us, but what we have done to adjust this summer for programs is we recently rolled out what we're calling KPL Kids to Go, or KPL Teens to Go, or KPL Family Night. They're little 9x5x4 takeout boxes that have a themed program in them. And people register for them a week in advance. And we get them all ready and labeled with their name, and people can come and pick them up that following week. And that has been immensely popular. The first week that we had sign up, they were all gone in 20 minutes. One of the boxes was gone in 5 minutes. So we doubled our capacity and just made twice as many boxes, but they're still selling out really quick. And by selling out, I mean, they're free boxes, but I mean, they're just gone really quickly.
Right. Marcia, I don't know if your services normally change in the summer, or is it a
yes
year round? Yes. So how are you adjusting?
Yeah, like Heather, summer is definitely the busiest time for us as well. We have the bookmobile typically going out 5 days a week, and a number of those stops are at summer school sites, which isn't happening this year. So that's a different thing. And then we also are a partner of the Kenosha Parks Alliance, which is a group the mayor started a few years ago to get positive community activities and involvement happening in our city parks. So we've been a partner of that, where summer day camps are paired up with a local summer school program. So for example, let's say over at Lincoln Middle School, they used to have summer school in the morning, and then they would have a summer day camp that would happen in the afternoon. And we would visit all of those summer camps on a weekly basis. Our school-aged outreach librarian, Lisa, she plans ahead and has STEAM and reading lessons available, et cetera. So Lisa is still providing services mostly via email and phone to different teachers on request. She's sending out her suggested reading for different topics on request, making little reading lists. Lisa has a very extensive career experience doing school-aged STEM, which is science, technology, I forgot the E, and math.
Engineering.
Thank you, Heather. I just blanked out for a second. So sometimes it's called STEM, sometimes it's called STEAM, and that's when they add in art. So she and a few of the other outreach staff members have created really, really simple STEM and STEAM kits that can just freely be given out to people who are coming through curbside. So if we notice that we're giving out an order that has kids' materials in it, or there's kids in the car, we'll grab some of these little STEAM and STEM kits. And what she does is she's very thoughtful in the activities that she's providing. She tries to make sure that any activity goes out that the kids will have what they need to do the thing. So if it requires, you know, glue, she'll include some glue dots or things like that. She's not making assumptions that the kids have the things that they need at home. So that's something that's been pretty popular as well. And, you know, we're just doing a lot more face-to-face service with curbside and a lot of phone contact with our people, trying to figure out, do they have somebody that can get to curbside for them? If not, you know, just trying to be the little light on the phone for them. So yeah, summer is definitely different this year. In the past, you know, we've had a lot of interaction with people directly out there. And we also do a large number of special events in the summers. We might be invited over to a national night out, which hopefully national night out is still going to happen this summer. But, you know, we'll bring the book truck or the bookmobile, and we'll be at, you know, different county park outings or special events that might happen in the summer. And the bookmobile is always a big draw. People love to come on and just see it, like, oh, I haven't been on here since I was a kid. Or they like to come on and cool off because we have the air conditioning going. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff isn't happening this summer. And definitely we really miss it.
I am not surprised because I love talking about libraries, but we're running out of time. So I wanted to give each of you a chance to kind of answer the final question of what are some positive things or surprises or rewards that have come from this adjustment to having fewer people around but still serving them? What's something good that you can tell our listeners about this pandemic period for the Kenosha Public Library? Should we start with Brandy this time?
Absolutely. I think one really great opportunity that has come out of this shared experience, right? It's not limited to just our organization or just our community, is that we're able to take a moment to kind of pull back and evaluate how we're actually serving the needs of our community. And I am so excited to share that there are some amazing things in the works to really enhance and improve the services that we already have, which I'm a little biased, but I think are wonderful, and to really get in and help support building equity and sustainability in our community. So it's a great time for us to be able to reflect, but also to put theory and thought into action. And so I think there's great things coming from your public library really soon.
Great. And Marcia, can you tell us something that you think has been a positive or surprising thing that's come out of this period?
Yes, I would like to build on what Brandy said about, you know, determining how to serve our community better. Before working in outreach, I was the digital librarian, and an issue that has always been on my radar. And also Barb, our director, is very concerned about this, is the equity of services and also the digital divide. We do have a digital divide in our community, and going home and having, you know, having a lot of families that are now supposed to be schooling at home and getting their services at home, it became a bigger issue that we do have a digital divide in our community, and it's on the library and some of our educational institutions to, you know, get that out into the public and make sure our elected officials are aware that it's existing and make recommendations on how we can change that for the better. And so for us, our move to take the Wi-Fi booster out on our van 5 days a week is one of our ways to address that very quickly. And I hope that the library can be at a seat at the table to really look at, you know, community access, especially at the digital access, in a much bigger sense coming up.
Great, thank you. And Heather, aside from the cat hour, which I'm still just captivated by, what else has come out of this pandemic period that you think is a positive thing for the library?
What I think has been positive is that it has given us the opportunity to be really extra creative and flexible with the way that we're planning, the services that we're offering. It's been kind of fun actually for youth and family services to, for example, with those program boxes, to figure out how to fit a program into a small box. You know, it's an interesting challenge for us. I think that's been really good, and it might help as we move forward into the future. But also, and I did want to get this in right under the wire, because we didn't mention our summer reading challenge, really. We changed it this year to be the KPL Summer Mind and Body Challenge.